This is going to get a little awkward.
Nicholas Joseph Fury.
Oh, I'll be out of your hair as soon as I track down the scrolls that are infiltrating your planner.
A scroll can't do that.
Does announcing your identity on clothing help with the covert part of your job? Want to fight?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the second episode of Three Beers and an MCU, name pending. The podcast where we rewatch all of the Marvel movies, all 23 of them, and we talk about the recurring themes. Tonight's episode is Captain Marvel, which was released in 2019, the 21st movie in the MCU. I am your host, Bernie, Bern Appetit on Instagram, and I am joined by Mr. Dwayne and Mr. Scott. Say hello, fellas.
Hello, fellas.
Hello, fellas.
How was your guys' Christmas?
It's good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Drank too much, but other than that, good.
I didn't drink very much. I had to drive through some snow. It's pretty snowy up here and not real good for driving.
Yeah, but we made it. I was in your neck of the woods, and it was quite snowy. The snowiest winter Christmas in 85 years, the news said, something like that.
I don't know if it was that or not.
I didn't write the news.
We haven't had much snow lately.
I didn't write the news. All right, if it's fake news.
Let's check these facts.
I'm not responsible for the fake news on KDKA. Write them the letter. Don't write me the letter.
Somebody better check this media man out here. I don't know. Could be making it up for the clicks.
Speaking of fake news, I have to apologize to Dwayne and our listeners. I got some really bad news this past week, and it calls into question the integrity of the podcast, to be honest. Skay, do you want to explain yourself to Dwayne, or do you want me to do it for you?
Do I want to explain myself? I'm not really sure where you're getting to here.
Skay sent me a text saying he watched episode 8 and 9 of Star Wars, and he liked them both.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I liked them. Okay, I can explain myself. They weren't bad. I mean, they're decent movies. They were interesting. Just to kind of see the conclusion here, that wasn't terrible.
This is Skay, who on the last episode talked about how he doesn't like the action parts, but he likes the deep story, the backstories and all that stuff. Light Rise of Skywalker. How is our audience supposed to trust our opinions on superheroes' dicks when you make that statement and then turn around and say you liked Rise of Skywalker?
I mean, I didn't say it was
put
like
Snoke
greatest...
in a pickle jar, Skay. Come on.
I must have missed that part. I don't know. I didn't see that part. Oh, wait a minute. You're talking about all the extra ones? In the pickle jar? Yeah.
Listen to what you just said. All the extra ones. Explain yourself. 2 minutes.
I can't really explain myself. I thought they were okay movies. I kind of liked the action from them. It felt good. It wasn't
You don't
ridiculous.
Like action.
I know I don't, but it wasn't
it's
like
It's canon
ridiculous.
Of the shows, Skay, that you don't like action.
I for whatever reason, just I didn't think they were bad. I didn't say I loved them, but they were fine. I didn't mind watching them. I watched, what was the other thing? Rogue One? Started watching Rogue One? Couldn't even finish that. I did not care for that at all. It was boring. Didn't hold my attention. I did not give a damn about Rogue One.
All right. But we need to find somebody else to do this Marvel thing with.
Yeah. Listen. I was talking to someone, I don't want to name their name in case they don't want it known that we were talking about this, but we were talking about whether or not the thing has balls or if it's just actual just rocks that are still like on his body. Like, can you tell, does he have dangling rocks there or is it just more rocks? And now the listeners won't be able to trust our fucking opinion because you like Rise of Skywalker. So I hope you're happy. Episode 2, we're already in trouble.
I'm not as hardcore about the old ones. I don't put all my faith in episodes 4, 5, and 6. I don't hold any major, I guess, reminiscence for them. So these newest ones weren't a real affront to me. You know, I wasn't offended by what happened in them. They were different. They were different for sure.
A movie lover in general should be offended by episode 9.
Well, maybe I'm terrible. Just not a movie lover. Maybe, you know, maybe that's kind of the point of this podcast. I haven't seen any of these movies either. What the hell? Clearly not a movie lover. But they weren't bad. They weren't bad at all. I think you're looking at them through rose-tinted glasses. That's what I'm saying. You go into them.
We'll save that for the second season of this. We'll do the Star Wars movies next.
Oh, God. I mean, yeah, sure. All right, well, we'll forget about Star Wars for now and go right into what are we drinking. Dwayne, what are you drinking today?
I went something light and easy today. I got the Kirin Ichiban Japanese beer.
Ooh, I'm a big fan of Ichiban.
Or is it Chinese? I don't remember.
It's Japanese, I believe.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah, you better figure it out and edit it, whichever one was wrong, you better edit it. All right, Skabon, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Sierra Nevada Dankful IPA. Looks like it may be some kind of Christmas-type IPA they put out. It's pretty good.
It's called Dankful?
Dankful, yeah. It's very dank.
That and, trying to cash in on those millennial dank memes?
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty good. I drink their all-day IPA pretty regularly. And this one almost has like a little bit of a piney flavor to it.
Yeah.
Is it supposed to be like a Christmas beer?
I think, yeah. A buddy of ours came over. We were playing Settlers of Catan the other night. And he left a couple of these here. Yeah, it's pretty, I think it is supposed to be a Christmas. It doesn't say on the can here, but it kind of, I would think with Dankful and just kind of looking at it, yeah, I would think that's a Christmas type beer.
Well, nothing tastes as good as pandering, so. Very cool, Skay.
What are you drinking, Bernie?
I got two beers today, both donut themed.
Oh.
I have, my last beer of the advent calendar from Platform Brewery is a cranberry jelly donut.
Ooh. Okay.
I don't know if you guys can see that.
What style beer is it? Does it say?
Berliner Weiss style ale, but it tastes more like a sour than anything else. And then Skay, you might like this. I got Project Happy Holidays.
Ooh.
From Sheetz. It's a Sheetz collab beer.
Sheetz beer is
a convenience store in Pennsylvania that you actually want to order food from, Dwayne.
Like a Bucky's?
No. This is like made to order. Like you actually order like sandwiches and like.
They've got fried food, burgers, fries, the chicken fingers, stuff like that.
It's not as cool as Bucky's, but like the it's like just think of like a pretty good fast food restaurant inside of a convenience store is the best way I could describe it.
Right.
But this beer, they're calling it a donut ale. It's brewed with Sheetz donut holes.
Hmm.
So they say. It's a collab with Wicked Weed Brewery, Anheuser-Busch and Wicked Weed Brewery. It actually legitimately tastes like donuts.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not kidding. The aftertaste is like you took a bite of a donut.
That's which crazy. Is
both good and bad. So, I like it, but you can have one and then it just it's too sweet.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm drinking two to mix it up. Two donut beers to mix it up. All right. Well, tonight we're talking about Captain Marvel. Super weird to do this one second because this one was the in-between Infinity War and Endgame.
Especially the mid-credit. Yeah.
Yeah, the mid-credit scene was so wild watching it this way. And even like parts of the main story that we'll get into is like, doesn't make sense when you watch it this way versus watching it how they released in theaters.
Right.
We'll get into that obviously, but Dwayne, you said you have a really good IMDb synopsis for us.
Let
us have it.
Hold on to your hats here. This is going to be a while. Carol Danvers becomes one of the universe's most powerful heroes when Earth is caught in the middle of a galactic war between two alien species.
That's it.
It's
not even... I guess that's vaguely kind of what happens.
That's it. I mean, that's a good...
I guess.
Short and sweet. That's all you need to know right there.
Would that make you watch the movie, though? Not enough to make you watch the movie?
If it's a Marvel movie, yeah.
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 If it wasn't Marvel movie and you said, hey, do you want to watch this movie and you read it, I'd be like, who's in it? Jude Law, sign me up. I was thinking we'd keep to the same kind of format where we kind of go through the movie itself. I took a whole bunch of notes kind of in order again. And then if we want to go off on any particular tangent, we can. So again, the movie starts off and it hits you right in the feels. Starts off with the Stan Lee Marvel Studios intro. Because this was the first movie after he died, wasn't it?
Right, I believe so. Because this came out the beginning of the year and he died in like December or something, right?
Yeah, nice tribute to him.
Oh, okay. So that is actually him and his little cameo in the film.
Yes.
Yeah.
Reading the Mallrats script.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think that was that his last cameo, or had he recorded one more? I think after.
No, he did. He did Endgames, right?
Endgame. I think he did those, right? He recorded them all before he passed away.
Yeah, he recorded a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Because I think they kind of knew. Other time was, tick-tocking away.
Yeah.
Skay, did that hit you in the feels, or do you not give a shit?
No, I understand its significance, but...
you understand the importance of Stan Lee to this?
Yeah, sure, absolutely, too. I mean, all of it. I've watched all those kind of Kevin Smith movies, too. I've seen all those, so, I mean, he was a big deal to that guy. He's an important guy. I didn't really catch any feelings from it, but... I did notice it, and I respect it.
God, every other post, Kevin Smith is crying, like posting a video or a picture of himself crying on Twitter over some nerd thing that he watched. What did he just watch? He watched something
Mandalorian.
Like, oh, yeah, that's right, Mandalorian. The finale of Mandalorian, he posted a picture of him like crying like a 14-year-old girl. I bet Rami has the same photo. All right, anyway. On to the movie itself. So the movie opens up with Captain Marvel covered in some blue alien goo, and an alien's walking up to her about to shoot her, and then it kind of fades to black. And then she wakes up on Hala, the Kree capital. Her name on there is Vers. We know her as Carol Danvers if you read comic books. But she is being referred to and calling herself as Vers.
That's kind of, it comes out, that's like the name they implanted in her, right?
Yeah, that's her Kree name.
Yeah.
And then they do that real corny scene where Jude Law like comes or opens the door and she asks him like, do you want to fight or whatever, to kind of show that like how powerful she is, but not powerful enough. You know, you can't quite beat your master yet, so.
She's controlled by that little chip in her neck.
She can't use her full power. Yeah. But they have to establish that she's powerful, just not powerful enough to beat the master yet.
Well, she has to beat him without her powers first before like she can become... Yeah.
She has to learn. The whole lesson was to be able to control her powers and beat him without using them. Her powers starting off in the movie being like the photon blast.
It pays off.
Very much so. I want to talk about the Kree aliens. Why are they also like vastly different? Like, there's like two humanoid looking Kree's, Jude Law and no, I guess the other one's an AI, the Supreme Intelligence. But like,
yeah, why is
also he... wildly different?
Yeah, well, because there's, I think in the comics they're blue, they're the blue race, right?
Yeah.
Which the but other like, ones were blue.
I thought maybe like he picked, like he could change his form and he picked that to like make her comfortable because she's human, obviously. But they don't have those abilities. They're just like all drastically so different. Like one's blue, one's, they're just, they have like, all over the place.
They have those things that come with their suit that can change the color and that sort of stuff automatically. Maybe he's just got one of those for his skin. You just shapeshift a little bit.
They do never explain it, huh?
No.
Because it's only him that's different, really.
Yeah. Him and her.
Yeah. Well, her, obviously she makes sense.
She's not a Kree, yeah.
But, yeah.
But isn't that just convenient that the guy who finds her and who wants the information out of her just happens to be humanoid like her, so she feels...
But also, Mar-Vell looked humanoid. Like human. Well,
she was the Supreme Intelligence, though.
No. The real Mar-Vell that she worked with.
Yeah.
The doctor. Right.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's two of them that were humanoid.
You just don't see the other ones. They're very diverse people.
It's true. If you look at that giant city, there could be tons of them.
Hala is just a big melting pot. That's all. Yeah. Looks like a cool place to live, like a big future. Almost kind of reminds me of the Cloud City from Star Wars a little bit.
It does.
Speaking of which, we should let the audience know that Skay has a space background up, and it's very appropriate for this movie.
Yeah. he talked long and hard about this background.
I did, yeah.
No one can see.
The three backgrounds that I had to choose from, this looked like the most appropriate one, rather than grass. When we watch A Bug's Life in this, or Ant-Man, I'll be in the grass for that one.
Yeah, I like how you picked A Bug's Life when Ant-Man is basically a bug's life.
My mind wasn't working that fast. Give me a break here. I'm new to this world. I'm new to this universe, damn it.
I thought it was really cool how they kind of did her backstory, where the movie didn't start with her as like a kid and then going through the trials and stuff of, you know, people saying you're a woman, you can't fly, like you can't do this, you can't do that.
You just pieced it in.
She had her mind erased. And then later on in the movie, they do the origin story through the Skrull technology. Yeah, the
Skrull
mind probe, I thought that was, yeah, I thought that was really cool. But it did highlight one thing about her character that I think is very important. And that's, she is a fucking terrible pilot. She literally crashes everything she flies in this movie, everything she drives in this movie. Literally anything she touches, she ends up crashing at some point in this movie.
Maybe that's the way of showing she needs to fly without a vehicle.
Exactly. Yeah, that's her powers are so good for her.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah, they're like, oh man, she sucks real bad at flying any kind of vehicle. Let's just give her powers where she doesn't need them. She can just fly in Juggernaut style alien ships.
I want to know why they call it a cockpit. That guy who comes up in her memory says, "You do know why they call it a cockpit, don't you?" No, I'm not sure. What? Because of dicks like you in it, or what?
That's what her answer should have been.
It's another sexist reference that you have to have a cock in order to fly planes, game.
That's terrible. Because the other girl pilot in the movie was pretty damn good.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's one of the overarching themes of the movie is, you know, 90s people telling women they can't do what men can do and all that bullshit.
She's just been bullied all her life, and now she needs to tap into that to get these powers.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's good. Overcoming your demons from the past like that.
Oh, yeah. I love the way that they did that. And I loved, we'll talk about this later, but those scenes where she's kicking the crap out of everyone and they're playing songs about, you know, like, no doubts, I'm just a girl, and she's like fucking destroying everyone.
Yeah.
It's so corny, but I really like that stuff.
So, it fits good, I thought, most of the music.
Yeah.
Fit the era of the 90s. And it was all 90s era.
It almost went too heavy into 90s stuff, I thought. I wish they would have pulled back on the 90s references just a little bit. Like, we get it. You know, if you watch a regular movie, they don't push that decade on you so much.
One of my favorite movies is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And it is, like, just a Great Depression period piece. And I love it for that. It is so good at that. And they push that pretty hard on you in that movie.
Isn't that more of, like, a comedy? So they're using that as the comedic themes along with the story?
It is, I guess, some comedy. There's drama aspects to it, too. There's some serious stuff in there. But it is, I guess, more lighthearted movie overall. But, I mean, this is, too.
Yeah, you could say the same about these movies, too.
Well, and I feel like with Carol Danvers, they try to make her, like, a strong, serious woman, but then she'd be a little jokey here and there, but it didn't always come off as, like, she's funny. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she quips.
Yeah.
She does the Spider-Man quips every now and then. But I think Brie Larson doesn't really feel like she's into that, the quipping. So she, like, she'll quip and give, like, half a smirk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that just kind of seems like the personality of the character is just, like, bland, that quips with a half smile every now and then. It's just like, she didn't do a horrible job. I mean, she was fine, but I think Brie Larson coming off, what was that movie called? The Room or whatever? Not The Room. The Room's that weird fucking movie. Whatever that one movie was that, with that little kid. You know what I'm talking about?
No idea.
Did she win an Oscar for that, or she was nominated for it? I don't remember. But I know she can be better than what she was in Captain Marvel. She wasn't horrible. It's a superhero movie. I don't know what to expect, but I feel like she brought more personality to the character than what she did.
She was in a movie called Room.
Room. Not The Room, just Room.
We have the internet.
I know if we weren't allowed to use it. Three beers and a mic, you're not allowed to use the internet.
I know, but we're literally giving information about people on the movie.
That's
like,
true. It's true. We don't want to be fake news. So in this world, the Skrulls are in a war with the Kree. Skrulls are a shape-shifting alien race that the Kree blame for, like, genocide. I'm not quite sure what their beef is with the Skrull.
It was some kind of war, and they...
They're just acting like the Skrull attacked them all the time. Like, almost like terrorists.
But they destroyed the Skrull's planet. So...
Yeah, I mean, we know the Kree are the bad guy now, but the Kree try to spin it to her that the Skrulls are these bad people, and almost like terrorists, where they're just, like, constantly attacking and killing the Kree.
Right.
And you do kind of see that whenever they go on the mission to save that spy, Solar. The Skrull kind of set up like a sting operation there, where they come in and they're all dressed up like
the natives
on the planet. Yeah, but they're all Skrulls, and they end up capturing Captain Marvel.
Here's my question to that: did they know she had a connection to Mar-Vell, or were they just captured her because she was there?
I think what's Talos? Talos?
Talos.
The main Skrull, Talos. I think he had a line later in the movie where he said he could, like, sense her power, or that her power was similar to the hyperdrive, to the lightspeed drive. So I don't know, maybe at that point there he had some kind of sense, so he could feel it. There was some kind of reading he got from a piece of equipment that said, this is something here.
See, I thought that he used that same device on Solar that he did on Carol to go through and read his memories and stuff.
But
so I figured Solar knew that she was like captured, taken into custody for working
maybe
closely with her. I don't think they ever really explain it. That's, or they just captured her and got lucky. Maybe they just captured her and her memories and like, oh, she's actually super important.
But if we go that route, right? So the Kree had the hyperdrive power, right? It was obviously a Kree that designed and developed it. So they were probably just picking off all these people just hoping to get somebody that knew something about it and got lucky.
That brings up another interesting question. Like, you look at the city of Hala and all these spaceships flying around and like all this technology, and we're to believe that no alien race ever was able to create a hyperdrive. Just this lady. Like, you really, it doesn't seem like it, like in terms of like space ships and like space movies and stuff, like the hyperdrive is a pretty basic thing in those movies.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we see it at the end when Ronan comes in with those three giant ships. Like, they just come out of nowhere.
Right?
So
her base is fucking invisible. It has an invisible cloak. But then yet, we're supposed to believe that all these races can't figure out a hyperdrive system. It just seems so weird.
Must be some super advanced type of hyperdrive, because that definitely a couple times through the movies, those Kree ships already like blast. But
I think they had to go to like certain points where they could jump. They couldn't just jump at any time.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. Yeah, there was a jump point. Yeah, when she lands in that blockbuster and calls back to the ship with a payphone and a Game Boy. They say the nearest jump point is 22 hours. So yeah, you're right. They have to go to specific places. So this one, assuming,
so this can bypass all that. You can just go wherever you want to go.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So, perhaps. Just a convenience thing.
Now, did she develop that technology on Hala and then take it to Earth with her? Because
they make it seem like she developed it on Earth.
Right. When they're at Pegasus, Samuel Jackson, Nick Fury, has a line where he says, oh, this is a welcome wagon. They're covering up a $1 billion mistake or something like that. Yeah. So clearly.
Well, I'm wondering if
it's pumped a lot of money towards that.
So maybe they sent her there so that nobody would be able to find her developing this thing. You know what I mean?
All right. But here's my question now. A $1 billion mistake, if we're assuming that that's the hyperdrive that crashed and that's missing, right? Because that's what everyone's looking for, is the ship was crashed and then they need the coordinates to her base or whatever. What do you think it costs to build that space station that was invisible? So you're telling me $1 billion could build the hyperdrive system? How much would it cost to build a spaceship that could be invisible?
Well, maybe that was part of the $1 billion mistake right there. The ship that they crashed, that was only, you know, a couple hundred million. The rest of that budget went into the floating, invisible, orbiting space station. Plus, it had the Tesseract in it, too. I mean, hell, you got that thing. You can do whatever you want.
We're not there yet. We have lots to talk about how this Tesseract got to space out of fucking nowhere.
That's probably why Mar-Vell was there, because the Tesseract was on Earth. And she needed the Tesseract to create the hyperdrive.
That's true.
So which that came could, first,
that, the Tesseract? That actually makes sense.
They just never explain it.
That makes sense that she would need that technology in order to build the hyperdrive system. But how would she know it was on Earth?
That I don't know.
Ronan is involved with the Kree. Does he have any sort of inside info on this? I wonder.
I don't. Are we all just missing something, or they just straight up never explain it? Because how far do you think Hala is from Earth that they would somehow know that the Tesseract is on Earth?
The nearest jump point from, assuming somewhere out by Hala to Earth, is 22 hours.
Well, that was
wherever they were.
That was from that planet where they tried to rescue the spy. Which, by the way, those underwater suits that they, the little thing that can just like put up the face mask thing, that's pretty sick.
I gotta say,
in that movie it works, really good.
Works in space.
I have that written right here in the same spot when they're going like into that first little mission there on that planet. That compared to the stuff that I've watched recently, this CGI is really good. The ending credits scene, like when it's like the kind of outer spacey look, stars and whatnot, they draw the little cat out of it, and it's really, I like the animation, the CGI, the graphics in this movie. It's pretty damn good.
Yeah. I forgot to mention that during that mission, they're in the plane doing the briefing on it, and Yon Rogg, Jude Law's character, is very specific that they're not to touch the locals.
Yeah.
But then that one blue alien snipes one within about 30 seconds of the mission before they even really find out that they're Skrulls. She snipes one like 30 seconds into it.
But didn't she give off a, like, she kind of knew it wasn't a local person? Like,
she seemed like she had like a hint, and then another guy came up to her.
Right. And she was looking through the scope of her gun. That sniper rifle thing, and she saw
the guy that was talking to
on
her.
The mission. Yeah. Yeah, the guy who was talking to her was also down there with his guns drawn on these locals. So she figured, well, this is a fake ass dude right next to me, and she blasted him, and sure enough, it was a Skrull. So her instincts were good. I don't know why you're questioning her.
I'm not questioning her. I'm just saying they made such a big deal about not touching locals, and then within 30 seconds, they're already killing locals.
Well, hell, they weren't locals. They were all Skrulls.
Well, yeah.
Well, that wasn't part of the mission. The mission is go kill the Skrulls. So do it. What the hell? Blast them. Start blasting. I did like that one. Her rifle could bounce between four or five different targets. Yeah, that was
cool. She killed four people with one shot. It just like ping pong between them. Like, yeah, that,
yes, that's a pretty good gun.
Yeah,
I want that.
I like that a lot. So then she gets abducted by Talos, brought on the ship. Then we learn her backstory of how she grew up always being like an underdog, even through like her military training and stuff. They showed her falling off of obstacles and having to get herself back up, crashed and stuff, getting back in the little go-kart. All that stuff. Trying to find coordinates for the hyperdrive. Not knowing, or they don't know its coordinates.
They're just trying to find out where it is.
Yeah, they don't know where it is.
I did kind of like that too when they're doing it, and they're like, you can hear the Skrulls talking, and he's like, no, go back, and it like rewinds. Like,
yeah. No, it was really well done. A way to get through all that backstory stuff like quickly, because some movies can really like drag on with the backstory stuff of them as a kid, like,
yeah,
you know, trying to learn adversity and all that shit. This movie doesn't mess around with any of that stuff, which is I actually really liked. So then she basically destroys that ship with her photon blasts all over the place.
Gets her hands bound. What are you talking about?
She picks up her shoes, too. She has to get her shoes. She gets in the little escape pod and somehow can pilot it, even though the Skrull shot the panel and, like, destroyed the panel. She's somehow able to steer it well enough to crash. Another example of her crashing something. Crashes it into the Blockbuster.
That wasn't really her fault, though. The control panel was all shot, and the thing started falling apart on reentry.
Skank. Right. It's always the captain of the ship's fault.
She always goes down with the ship. At least you can give her that.
So if we assume that she was able to get to Earth from the pod like that quickly, like, why isn't anyone picking up that there's an alien ship in our, like, in our space? Right? Because that was a big-ass ship. And she didn't fall that long in order to get to Earth. It's not like she flew away for, like, light years and then ended up on Earth.
True.
Did the ship fall with her, though? I kind of remember her falling, like, out of the bottom of that escape pod.
Yeah, no, the ship, I assume, just blew up in space.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It was just
like, but it would be on, like, you would have that on, like, some sort of, like, radar or something from satellite. Like, you, like, were to pretend, like, nobody saw that.
This is the mid-90s, though. This is, yeah, somebody saw it, probably, but they're just some lunatic. He didn't see anything.
What about people in the space station?
It was a flat earther that saw it, so nobody believed him.
Like the guy from the Sonic the Hedgehog movie? The Blue Devil guy?
I did not see that movie.
Swing and a miss. So Earth is called C-53, right?
Yeah,
it is. And I think the most accurate thing in the entire movie is an alien referred to Earth as a shithole. Which I thought was really funny. We get our first look at Agent Coulson in this movie.
Yep, rookie.
Yep, he's a rookie. Means nothing to Skay so far, I believe.
I know
Agent Coulson.
I know he's important later, but I don't really know. I haven't seen much of him. I did like how Samuel L. Jackson was portrayed in this film. He looked good. That CGI, that whatever they did.
The de-aging was really, really good.
Yeah, and it's not like he was not hardly in the movie. Like, he's in a good majority of the movie. And
yeah. That's
sure that cost a pretty penny to do all that.
Definitely.
It does. It looks really good. I mean, you can hardly tell even. It doesn't look like just obviously fake. It's pretty impressive. It's watching Captain America last week to this one, like just all those sort of add-on special effects. You can tell. Those movies are nearly a decade apart right there. It's come a long way.
Not only that, but you can tell that, like, they've hit their groove as far as, like, making movies. Like, everything is just neater and tighter.
Yeah.
As far as the script and the cinematography and just, like, everything you can just tell is just, like,
tighter.
Yeah. One of my biggest gripes with Captain America was, you know, the soldiers would pick up the laser guns and evaporate people and like nothing, wouldn't even react to it. This movie, Samuel L. Jackson, they see the laser, the Skrull takes a shot at Captain Marvel. She throws him out of the way. He actually flips out at seeing a laser gun. Finally, someone who's like, what the fuck? I loved it. Actually, that was one thing in my notes. I was like, oh my God, thank you. Thank you. Someone has a real life reaction to seeing something freaking ridiculous like that.
They reacted to everything that was weird in this movie, though. I fit like more than a lot of movies.
They did, which is weird. Like, so who?
Like, seeing a shapeshifter?
Between Captain America and this movie, what branch of the government was overseeing the Tesseract and stuff? Because it wasn't S.H.I.E.L.D. or maybe Samuel L. Jackson's so low in the totem pole that like he doesn't know about alien technology and shit. Because he was genuinely surprised at everything he saw.
Yeah.
Which would be weird because he seems like he's not like super high up in S.H.I.E.L.D., but he's...
The Tesseract was lost on the ship with Captain America, wasn't it?
Yeah, isn't it still in the Arctic? I mean, they haven't found him.
No, they found it. Did. It fell out. It fell through the bottom of the ship. Stark went and got it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So the government had it, but then all of a sudden it ends up in space in this movie, and they don't tell you why or how it got up in your little base.
She was using it. They were they're probably testing it to see what they could use it for.
Yeah, but why would they let this one woman take that onto a thing? Like, the amount of trust to just be like, okay, yeah, you can take that to this base up there.
Well, she made him a hyperdrive. Wasn't part of the Tesseract part of the hyperdrive?
That's what we're assuming. But did she make the hyperdrive and then she was allowed to take it? Or did they just place trust in her? Like, all right, well, we give you this. You better give us a hyperdrive up there. This powerful cube that we've been hiding for 40 years. We're just going to trust you by yourself because there's no one else with you up there.
Maybe they've had other people working with it in the past that we just don't know about. They've tried other stuff, other experiments, and
we do see that
why not
later.
Let's try this.
We do kind of see that later. You've seen that, Skay. They do all the time travel shit in Endgame. We see the Tesseract again.
I don't remember. I'm gonna have to do a rewatch.
Oh boy, Skay.
Good thing we're doing this.
I love the little tricks they do of the shape-shifting. Like when Coulson was a Skrull in the car with Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
The Scooby-Doo stuff. I love that stuff. I thought it was really well done in this. It could be super corny, but I think they did it really, really well.
Well, and, you know, I have to say the train scene where, like, she punches the old lady.
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa, 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 right? But then the old lady's like jumping around and flipping around, and they're still like holding her back. Like, wouldn't you be like, wait, something's up here? Why is this old lady flipping around?
It's a crazy old lady. Holy hell.
Do you remember the reaction when the trailer first came out for this movie?
Yes, I do.
People didn't know that the Skrulls were shapeshifters. And in the trailers, they had Captain Marvel punching the old woman.
Yeah.
That's like how the trailer ended. And people were like losing their minds over it on Twitter. They're like, whoa, she punched an old lady? Like, whoa, what's happening here?
See, that's good, though. That got a lot of people talking.
I didn't notice it until watching it this time that that she bumped into the old lady, and that's how she knew it was the old lady.
Like, yeah, getting onto the train. Yeah. Yeah, she recognized her because she bumped into her walking onto the train thing. Yep. Shortly after that, another part of this movie I thought was very realistic was that guy on the motorcycle gets off his motorcycle, takes his helmet off, and tells her to smile more.
Yeah.
I thought that was also very, very
more
realistic.
Or the same theme throughout the movie, though.
It is that same motif that guys are just dicks to her. Just assholes.
I think it's not specifically to her. I think you can just assume they're just fucking dicks, period.
I guess that's true, yeah.
Which means not necessarily not true. So one of my favorite parts of the movie is Samuel L. Jackson is doing the autopsy, or he's not doing the autopsy, but he's in the autopsy room with the alien. They have his like chest cavity like split open, and he's with his boss. The hell is that guy's last name? Ben. I keep on saying Middleston, but it's not Middleston.
The actor?
Yeah, the guy who plays Talos, but he's also the Middleston. So they're in there looking at this Skrull being getting the autopsy done on it, and he gives Samuel L. Jackson a look to like, hey, let me peep that dick. And he lifts the blanket up, and they both look at it, and they just kind of like nod at each other. Which I think is very realistic. I mean, that's what I would do. If I'm doing an autopsy on an alien, I'm gonna peep that dick.
What's going on down there?
Now does the dick shift in... You have that talk?
But this is this is what makes that scene even more weird. That's Talos as a Skrull
looking at another
pretending
scroll.
To be that guy.
Yeah.
So does he somehow know that that's like a thing that humans would do? Because he initiates it to Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
So he's like, hey, let me, he knows the scroll. So he's basically saying, let me peep my buddy's dick here.
I think he just wanted to show off to Samuel L. Jackson. That's it. Like,
yeah,
he,
maybe
he
scrolls
must be working
have big
with
ones.
Something. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe. It was just so weird that, because, like, you see it, you laugh, like, oh, that's pretty funny. And then you find out that he's a scroll in disguise, and you're just like, wait, what? He just wanted to see his buddy's wiener? Like, but scroll. When I thought about it, I was like, Dwayne, if I had to come identify your body, and they have you sitting there, I'd tell the coroner.
Know what he's
hey.
Looking?
I'd tell the coroner, hey, let me see it.
You would tell the coroner. That's just, the angle you know him best by right there.
He's got an identifying mark there.
I've seen it a million times.
That's funny. It's just super weird. They also established in that scene that Brad Pitt exists in the MCU. So now he can't play a character. He's out. I don't know if you guys caught that or not.
I did not.
To see what? They mentioned Brad Pitt.
Oh, on like a news thing or
no?
Or in the background,
they're talking about like good-looking people, and they mentioned Brad Pitt, which establishes okay. He exists in this universe. Therefore, he can't actually be in the universe playing someone because that's Brad Pitt. We have him and Tinkerbell that are both out of future roles. I'm sure there's more because
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis were on that little cardboard cutout in Blockbuster on the True Lies advertisement. So they're out there.
Yeah.
Blast his head off in Blockbuster.
Yeah, I don't think Arnold was ever really in the running for casting anyone in these movies. But hey, that's a good catch, Skay.
I am the Iron Man. I'm going to shoot you with my suit, my Iron Man suit.
That's a good catch. I want to know how Nick Fury found her in that bar in the middle of fucking nowhere when she stole the motorcycle.
Yeah.
Like, went off into the desert, walks into a bar, and there's just kind of like one bartender like, hey, can I help you? And then Nick Fury just walks through the side door and like, gives him a nod to leave. Like, what?
It's supposed to show the power of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think, that they can track her.
I guess.
I want to know how she finds that little dive bar on the internet in like 1996 or what, this is the mid 90s and they're
I think
they're
she
online.
Just drove and just saw it.
Oh, she went to that internet cafe, remember?
Yeah, she was on Alta Vista.
That's what she searched for? Is that specific
yes.
bar?
Yeah.
She saw it. She remembered it, I think, from, you know, her memory thing, the name of the bar, Poncho's.
That's why she was looking at the pictures on the wall of the...
So she went to that little internet cafe, got on Alta Vista, and searched for Poncho's Bar.
How did she know to use the internet cafe to search? How did she know how to ride a bike if she her memory had been wiped?
Well, she knew how to fly that dropship, no problem. The first time she's ever seen one of those in her life. So, I mean, what the hell? She can operate about anything. It's like the Matrix. She has that little port in her neck, so she just calls back and, hey, teach me how to do this. Okay. Now she knows.
Well, after that scene, they're kind of like teaming up now, and they go to the government site looking for records on her and the...
Well, she kind of had to, right? She needed Nick to get in that place.
What's the code name? Pegasus?
I think it was, yeah.
Fury does that thing where he does the tape of the thumbprint. I thought was really funny. Because he says, you should see what I could do with a paperclip.
A reference to MacGyver.
What do you think he can do with a paperclip?
Kill you. He's MacGyvering the shit out of it is what he's doing.
I just like how well that scanner works. I mean, my thumb scanner on my phone, it's 2020 now. I have to put in my goddamn little passcode so many times because the thumb scanner on my phone doesn't work. This is 1995, and he can take a thumbprint with Scotch tape off of this goddamn ID badge and hold it up to the thing, and it works.
Yeah.
I need that on my phone. I want that scanner.
And then she can later just, like, she just photon blast the handle anyway. So, like, the whole thing was pointless.
He's like, yeah, what he said, like, you could have done that the whole time. And she's like, yeah, but you were working so hard or something, right? Like, you're trying so hard.
Yep. So then they find her file and everything, and they get more info on Project Pegasus. We find out that Dr. Lawson's Kree name was Mar-Vell.
Mm.
How about that?
Is that in the file, or do we learn that somewhere else?
We learned that somewhere else. I mean, they wouldn't have known in the file that she was a Kree. But around that same time, we find out that her name was Mar-Vell.
Yeah.
Because she starts remembering more and more as she, like, sees things. So I think she kind of had, like, a little flashback.
Yeah. Thing.
Goose appears. Skay, what do you think about Goose?
I like it. I have a cat sitting on my lap right now, so I like the kitty in the movie.
I like how, like, kitty. Mr. Hard Nick Fury or Samuel L. Jackson, he's like, oh, little kitty. It's just like, becomes a little softy all of a sudden.
Yeah, kitties are nice.
What do you think of the name Goose around military, like, Air Force jets and stuff? Sounds a little inappropriate.
Are we referencing Top Gun? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, seems a little inappropriate.
Does Top Gun exist in the Marvel Universe? If we establish Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer?
We have not. Exist? As of now, we have not. So that is a very good point, Skay. You win.
Is this going to come up in the later movies? I just don't know about it.
You win. It's really good.
I think Goose is a fine name. Goose is a fine name for a cat. You can call cat whatever you want.
So the next part of the movie, she steals that plane / helicopter thing. Only time I saw her fly something where she did not wreck it. Put it right down in the middle of the road outside her friend Maria. I think her name is Maria's house. It got after that scene, it went back to them not really caring that they see aliens, because her or the little girl did not care that two aliens were standing in front of her. They had no real reaction to that whatsoever.
They just got informed, though. Captain Marvel
told
them.
The little girl didn't. The little girl was outside with the Skrull imitating her mom.
The little girl was outside afterwards. She was inside for the first part, but then she went outside later.
She wasn't inside when they were telling her mom that aliens existed. She was outside with an alien that with a Skrull that was imitating like her mom.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then they brought her in.
Mm.
Mm. No real reaction to that.
Yeah,
that little girl will believe anything.
is that what it is?
She's just gullible, yeah. She's a little child. Yeah. You can fully convince her.
And again, she didn't really freak out when the alien changed from her mom to the, you know, a Skrull. If I was a kid, I'd been like, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
I did like that alien just kind of gave her like a little shoulder shrug, like, oh, you know, hey. This is what we do. Sorry. Yeah. I was your mom for a little while. You know, it was cool. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So then we're getting like the reminiscing stuff, and she's starting to remember more. And she finally remembers what happened to that plane where she obviously crashed it, because we established she's a horrible fucking pilot. And it exploded and rolled 16 times. And it was not a Skrull that was coming up to shoot her like what you saw at the beginning of the movie.
Nope.
It was actually Yon-Rogg. Heel
that
turn.
Yon-Rogg. That son of a bitch.
The she Skrulls shot the drive, were the good right? guys all along.
And that's when shoots the drive and gets the power.
Yep, that's how you find out how she got her powers. She shot the hyperdrive and exploded and kind of absorbed into her body, I guess.
in that scene, that memory scene right there, she, instead of the blue alien blood all over, she has red human blood.
Right.
Coming out of her nose a little bit. It was a big change that I noticed there. I noted both of those when they came up.
Yeah, and you find out that Dr. Lawson's real goal was to develop this hyperdrive to get the Skrulls to find their own planet where they're safe from the murderous Krees.
This damn Kree.
Well, so for Skay, Mar-Vell is actually, in the comic books, is the first Captain Marvel. So
okay,
and then
that's my next note, because there's a little Easter egg scene.
There's also the little girl that her friend's daughter,
right,
also becomes a Captain Marvel in the comic books.
Does she build a spaceship, the little girl?
Maybe she does. I don't know that much about it. I just know she's becomes a Captain Marvel.
She says that, I think, near the end. Oh, I'll build a spaceship and go visit them.
Yeah.
And Samuel L. Jackson's like, no, you won't. Shut up. And the little girl's like, yes, I will. So I wonder. I kind of wondered that, because that was, they kind of made a little point to mention that. I kind of wondered if this is going to be the next Captain Marvel. I could see that happening.
That's probably where they'll take it.
Oh God, can you imagine how far along till you get to that storyline?
Yeah.
Because she's only been in two things right now. Like, they're not getting rid of her anytime soon.
No.
40 movies from now. That's phase 23.
I mean, they got many years of material to use, so they can make movies forever.
Yeah, so there's a little Easter egg with Captain Marvel. When she's asking Monica to select her suit color, and the little girl knows how to do
Kree technology,
Kree graphic design, makes Aaron look like shit. They're going through, and she's like scrolling on through colors and stuff, and it stops on green and white for a while, and she's talking. That was the color of the original Captain Marvel suit, was green and white. So it's like a nice little homage to Captain Marvel.
But I mean, her regular suit was green and silver, I guess, not green and white. But yeah, it seemed to be like kind of in that vein, like that's what the Kree wore.
Yeah, and guess how Captain Marvel died, Skay, in the comics.
Guess how Captain Marvel, or the original Captain
Marvel. Yeah, guess how he died.
Gosh, I don't know. I don't know.
Just throw something out there.
Crashed a plane.
Cancer.
Cancer. Golly.
Yep, he dies of cancer. They do a whole issue around his funeral and shit. It's a pretty famous issue.
It's pretty serious.
But you would have never guessed cancer, did you?
I would not. No, that's. it seems like all too real, you know.
Comics tackle some big topics sometimes.
They do, yeah.
Was Mar-Vell a Kree? Like originally, did that tie into anything like that?
No, he was human.
Human. I guess, you know, even the superheroes have that human side to them. At least the human ones do.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Can't beat biology.
They get the coordinates for this base, right? I thought it was really funny that Talos was bitching at his science guy for not figuring out that the base was in orbit.
Yeah.
He's like, you're my science guy. So it was invisible, and they go out to the base, land inside of it. For some reason, they decide to not make it invisible again once they land in it. You know, You want the bad guys to be able to find it. It'd be cheating if it was invisible, I guess. They make it, they like take off the cloaking thing so you can see it, land in it, and they don't make it invisible to hide what they're doing. They just
then we wouldn't have Act Three though. They'd just be hanging out,
yeah, playing pinball,
trying to beat the high score.
That's it. How did all the Skrulls that were on the ship already? How were they there? They're just hiding there?
They're fugitives.
Yeah, just refugees.
So did Mar-Vell take them with her to Earth, got in real good with the federal government to get access to this?
That's what I was saying before. Built
the hyperdrive and invisible space station, and then moved all the Skrulls up to the space station.
Okay, maybe
that's what I said before.
Maybe she came with the space station, because it's actually a ship. It's not a space station. Maybe she brought them there on the ship. Of course, that doesn't explain how she got in good with the government and got to all that stuff.
That's what I mean. It doesn't make any sense how this. That's why it's so jarring to watch it this way. You know what I mean? Because when you watch 20 other movies before this, and you see the Tesseract up in the spaceship, space station thing, you're just like, oh, you whatever. I'm not going to draw the line here after the last fucking 20 movies. But when you're two movies in and you go from Tony Stark's dad picking it up in the 40s to it now magically being in space, you're just like, wait, what? Doesn't make any sense.
Maybe Mar-Vell was just a Skrull the whole time, and she got in good with the Kree, and then she went to Earth and got that sweet cloaking ship from the Kree and picked up a bunch of Skrulls on the way.
Well, when she died, she would have changed her form, though.
Did we see that? Oh, man. Yeah, it's kind of a mess.
Yeah, it's very irresponsible to put that Tesseract back in space, especially when ships are fucking hanging out there and nobody knows about it. You know that big fucking Skrull ship was hanging out there that she crashed her little pod, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody knew about it, but yet they're going to trust the Tesseract out there too? Like, what are you talking about?
That's bureaucracy for you. A lot of oversight there. A lot of missteps, mishandling of misappropriation issue, of funds.
Too much red tape.
Exactly.
Another issue I have with the Tesseract is Red Skull touched it and got beamed to oblivion, right?
Right.
I was looking like
people
for
people in this movie just fucking touch it whenever they want. The cat eats it, for fuck's sake. It's fine. Do the same rules not apply?
Doesn't that thing, what is the actual cat? I forget what that is.
Flurkin.
Yeah, that's it. Don't they eat galaxies? Isn't that what Flurkins do anyway?
No, Skate, you're confusing this movie with Men in Black. with the galaxy on the little ball around the cat's neck.
Well, Tommy Lee Jones was in the last movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I must be mixing things up here. I'm getting my universes confused.
Yeah, you're thinking about Men in Black 2.
Wait until Will Smith shows up. Then it'll blow your mind.
In that spaceship, we got the I'm Just a Girl fight scene. What did you guys think of that?
I thought all the fighting and action in this movie was really done really well.
Yeah, it was good.
I thought so too. Yeah, for me it was better than Captain America. It was a little more, I don't know, realistic. There was still some of that same old kind of stormtroopers type of thing where the grunts are just grunts and they suck real bad and they're just there to be fodder fed to the hero. But I thought the fight scene and the music, like we talked about earlier, the music was good. I like it.
I mean, I think the only fight scene for me that wasn't realistic was when she finally got all of her powers. Like, she should have just wiped the floor with all of them and just moved on. Like,
right.
It shouldn't have been a fight.
We'll get to those unlimited power ability that she now has. I just thought it was, like, I'm excited to show my daughters this movie when they're old enough to actually understand and appreciate it. I think they think that was awesome.
Oh yeah,
you know, girl out there just destroying everything and the corny. I'm just there.
Yeah, my daughter was watching it with her Captain Marvel doll, like, you know.
Yeah, I think they would really appreciate that. Even though it was so corny and dumb, I loved it. I thought it was really cool. It was a really good choice of music during the fight scene and stuff. So
the one thing I did note here, they played Come As You Are in the earlier scene.
Yeah.
I think was she talking to the intelligence? Or say, it was something like that. And there was a caption on the bottom of the screen. It said, upbeat music playing. I don't know that I would call that song upbeat music. Come As You Are by Nirvana. I guess the tempo is a little faster, but I wouldn't really call that an upbeat song. That's more of a, like a, I don't know.
Flip My Wrist song?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I'm Just a Girl is way more upbeat.
Shotgun to the Face Come As You Are song?
Right, yeah.
Oh, too soon.
He says, the song, there is a line, and I swear that I don't have a gun. And then you think about the guy who's singing that, and you're like, holy fuck, wow.
Too soon. Fuck you, Dwayne. Do they ever establish what Yon Rogg's powers are? Because they seem kind of similar to Captain Marvel's, but
no, he had weapons. He didn't have power.
Yeah, he has.
Did he have weapons? I couldn't tell if he had weapons. If those were things on his wrists or if his hands were doing that.
Yeah, there was some kind of gauntlet that he had. That
I couldn't tell.
It was like
if it was his
anti-gravity power or something. I don't.
Yeah, I wanted to call it magnets. I wrote magnets, but it wasn't magnets. It was kind of like magnets.
All the Kree had like different weapons that seemed kind of to be designed with that power. The sniper rifle was that green like bullet that shot out of it. The one guy had green swords. He fought with two swords. Then Yon Rogg had like the bracelet type of things where they could project energy out and hold your throat with just the energy.
So it's like video games where you have to pick your class of
right. Mm-hmm. It just, again, speaks to the diversity of the Kree. They're just a very diverse culture, race, you know.
Yeah.
They don't see color.
They have all that technology, but they can't figure out how to build a hyperdrive themselves. God. All right, well, where are we at? I guess we'll just get into her fucking powers now. Which I don't even know how to explain her powers other than she's God.
She is, yeah. She's Goku mixed with Neo, mixed with Superman. She can do pretty much anything she wants.
Yeah. She flies. She's Juggernaut. You have to count Juggernaut because she just flies through the ship and blows it up. Just like with her head down.
She has amazing strength to stop a gigantic, huge, massive rocket missile, turn it around and throw it into other missiles. Like that's she's pretty powerful.
I mean, to be honest, Ronan was smart for being like, yeah, let's just get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Well, Ronan says,
we'll be back for the weapon.
Yeah, we'll be back for the weapon.
Her, the woman.
The woman.
She's the weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah. The woman. And I don't want any spoilers for future movies, okay?
Okay.
But you know that she doesn't reappear until Endgame. So you know that they don't come back for her.
Well, see, I wonder, I did make note of that too, that he said that. And I wonder if they'll come back to that in the future. They are planning a Captain Marvel 2, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, so maybe we see the timeline that the sequence that we're watching this in is already pretty fucked up, going chronologically instead of release order.
Yeah.
So that I could see
it gets coming closer back to that after this. Later. It kind of gets in release order.
But that's the fun of having you on here because me and Dwayne know answers that you don't. So.
Well, fuck you guys then.
Hey. You're along for the ride, baby.
I'm gonna watch the shit out of these movies and get the answer.
Oh my god, I forgot the whole fight. Did we get this far? I guess she does her whole superhero shit, and then she has the fight with Yon-Rogg.
Yeah, the final thing.
That's when he crashes.
I loved that fight with Yon-Rogg. And do you know what movie it was from? Wasn't specifically from here, but it reminded me of Indiana Jones.
Yep. I was going to say that.
Yeah, okay.
I love that. They could have done the whole bullshit corny, like, fight me, you know, with your hands now and, like, prove yourself because this is a callback from an hour and a half ago when we did this whenever you woke up at the beginning of the movie and you couldn't beat me, but now you can. And, like, you learned all this stuff. Nope. He's telling her, you know, fight with my hands. And she just fucking blasts with her photon blast.
Like of course, Indiana I kind of
where the guys, like, the guys whipping the swords around, like showing off the Indiana Jones. He just pulls out a gun and shoots.
You know why that scene happened that day on Indiana Jones? That was not in the script.
No.
Go ahead.
Harrison Ford was tired that day, and he's like, "Dude, I have a gun. Why would I fight this guy? Like, let me just shoot him and be done for the day."
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
That's also the most Harrison Ford thing ever. On Twitter the other day, I know this is off topic, but on Twitter the other day, someone asked Harrison Ford if they thought he was a space ghost at the end of The Rise of Skywalker. Like when they're on that.
Right. Yes. If we can talk just briefly about that, I didn't really like that part. He's not a Jedi or anything. How's he appearing? It makes sense when the Jedi do it because the Force and everything, but he's not a fucking Jedi. He's Force
sensitive, Skay.
Yeah, so am I.
But someone asked him if he thought he was a, I think that's why they asked him if they thought he was a Force ghost because he's not a Jedi and he can't be like seen like that. And what was his answer? Like
I don't give a fuck.
Like
basically.
I think he said, I don't know what a space ghost is, and I don't give a fuck. That's the exact answer to that question.
That's a good answer, though. I like that.
It is a great answer.
These things are picked apart and analyzed so goddamn hard, and I'm guilty of it, too. You know, hell, I'm here doing it right now with you guys. But, you know, just who gives a shit? God damn it, just let it be what it is. You know, it is what it is. Who gives a goddamn? Why does Harrison Ford, why should he have to answer to something like that? Fuck you. Who the hell are you?
I agree.
Especially since he wanted to die in the first Star Wars movie. He didn't even want to come back.
I didn't know that. No.
Yeah, he kept asking him to write him out of the movies.
Yeah, good paying job like that. You gotta be nuts.
He's a true actor, though, you know.
I guess. The artistic integrity is strong with this one.
So we're pretty much at the end of the movie. Skay gets a big disservice by watching it this way. He doesn't get all the mystery around Nick Fury and how he lost his eye that later movies will make reference to.
And that was one thing in this movie. They kind of, like, how many times did he get hit in the eye in this movie? Like, 3 or 4 times?
They were,
like,
they were teasing it the whole time.
Yeah.
And then they have the shittiest way for him to lose his eye.
Like, yeah, he was scratched by a goose.
It was a flarkin. A goddamn universe
They make such a big deal about this eye, and he, like, tells the story of, like, he lost it in, like, this big fight or something like that. And then you find out that the cat scratched him in the eye.
he probably has many different stories how he lost the eye.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like, oh, I heard you were tortured, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I can't confirm nor deny that.
I like the set of eyeballs on a platter that Coulson brings in. his desk. Just like 50 eyeballs. He's just looking at him to see what
you get a tough like. Decision.
So she gives Nick Fury a pager that she rigs up to use for in case of emergency. Now, Dwayne, I don't want to do too many spoilers here. Do you think there was any time at which he could have used that pager for emergency
before this?
Before he did the snap one.
Probably several times.
I would say 8 to 10 films that we haven't seen yet would have probably qualified for a case of emergencies that he never used in. Yeah, definitely Avengers, Avengers 2, off the top of my head.
Civil War.
How did he know to save that? How did he know to save the pager for that moment?
Well, they didn't say that it was a one-time use, though.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Done it the entire time.
Like, if she was like, you can use this once and I will come and help you, that would make sense. But then, like, but even then, yeah, like, I think the first big time. Alien invasion, I'd be like, hello, get your ass over here.
Right?
You didn't want to drain the battery on it, though. It had limited battery. Was it powered by something? What were those, like, vials of blue goo? Was it plugged in?
Well, we found out that you can bypass the power supply, so.
Well, she comes back 20-some years later. Doesn't age a day. Look, now,
that's part of her powers. Come on.
Do we chalk it? Is it?
I don't know. For the sake of the
it might be. It is. Or it could be one of those things where time and space are different.
Yeah, because when she's moving galaxy, faster like in space,
right? Yeah,
it's just been like 2 years for her.
Right at the end of the movie, there when she flies off with Talos and the rest of the Skrull family in the ship, she's going damn near the speed of light. I mean, they're gone. They're in hyperspace.
Yeah.
So, yeah, time moves slower. It
could be an interstellar thing where time and space are relative, so.
Maybe that's what she does for those 20 years. She's just so vain and arrogant that she just flies at light speed so she doesn't age any.
She gets alien Botox.
She is pretty cocky. She has those little quips through the whole movie where she gives you that half smirk like, hey, I'm an asshole. So maybe it's really important to her.
But I can be one because I can kick your ass.
Exactly. She's not cocky. She's confident. That's all.
I think it's a situation where whatever planet she found for the Skrulls.
Speaking of flying in space at like crazy speeds, wouldn't that leather jacket just like disintegrate?
There's no air in space to make friction. So
yeah, but her body is literally on fire. Is that where you're drawing the line, Dwayne? The coat?
It just when the little girl handed her the coat, I'm like, would that really last?
One other thing that I hated when the movie came out. They did a Solo-esque reveal to find out how they've called it the Avenger Initiative.
Oh.
It's like Solo stole the idea of what's the dumbest way that we could show how they got this name, even though nobody cares how they got this name. So stupid. Avenger, Carol Avenger Danvers.
Which when I read it like 3 times, I'm like, that doesn't even like seem to make sense in that, like, Carol Avenger, not the Avenger, like.
Yeah,
it doesn't have a good ring to it. It doesn't really flow.
It's on par with Han Solo walking through the little immigration station.
Yeah,
it's like, what's your name? Han. What's your last name? Don't have one. Traveling by yourself? Solo? Oh, I guess my name's Han Solo now. It's like the world's dumbest way. Like, no one cares how you got the name. But then you show it, and it's so infinitely stupid, stupider than if you were just left alone. But I think we're almost done here. We get the end credit scene. which is especially jarring for Skay, who's only who's only two movies into this, and somehow we're already at the last movie.
I don't think I watched the end credit scene the first time I watched Captain Marvel before the first podcast episode that I was on. And watching it this time, I was like, didn't I see this before? Haven't I seen this? And I have, because I've watched Endgame. So it's like, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, this I'm familiar with this. I know what's happening here.
Massive freaking
now,
skip.
Now, you did go to the end credit. So these movies have a mid-credit and an end.
Right. I did go to the end credits, and then I watched through all like the Spanish and French version credits too to see if there was anything even beyond.
And
the,
you like, have to
end credit scene.
What movie is it? Guardians 2 maybe has like 6 end credit scenes. They one do? Of them has a lot. Is that Guardians 2?
I don't know. I didn't know
one
that.
Of them has, one of them has like 5 or 6. There's one that has a lot of them. So what do you think about the real end credit scenes, Gay?
I think that throwing up the Tesseract looks like it hurts real bad. That looks painful. I would imagine. I have a story that kind of relates to this. When I was a kid one time, I ate a bag of popcorn one evening. And then the next morning before school, I threw up that bag of popcorn, and it hurt like bad. All those little kernels, and it just destroyed my throat coming back up. So looking at that giant cube coming out of that poor little kitty's throat.
But that's a flurkin. It literally ate full-size people.
It put me in a place, a mindset, where I remembered that incident from my childhood.
I did think, though, inside. Why didn't they have him, like, his face get big and spit it out? Like,
exactly.
They just had the cat, like, open his mouth, like, what?
Right. I'm so used to my little kitty. Joke. I'm used to my little kitty with the hairball, and she looks like she's struggling with it, and that looks painful, too. And you got this giant cube coming out of that cat. No, I didn't like that scene.
A lot of sharp edges on there.
It was traumatic for me, in fact. It took me to a place I didn't want to go. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm real fucking sick of seeing this Tesseract. And
it's like, well, it's like the control panel from the last movie. You better not be.
Yeah, we got more Tesseract coming up. So
they called back to the props department and said, hey, guys, we need a source of, like, unlimited power. Do you have anything laying around? Oh, we got this Tesseract. Yeah, just give him that. Yeah, set it up there.
Well, don't worry. It will reappear somewhere else next time you see it.
Just bounces around.
It's important, though. I understand it's an important thing.
It goes from under the depths of the sea to the outer space.
That baby gets around.
To other worlds.
And back again.
Yep.
So let's do some final thoughts. Do final thoughts and a score out of 10, and then we'll rank them after that. So, Dwayne, final thoughts. Give it a score.
I enjoyed the movie, even rewatching it again. I think maybe like you, Bernie, though, like having a daughter who like this is actually the first female lead for Marvel,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
But this came out after Wonder Woman, I believe. So I think DC beat him to the punch. But I enjoyed the movie. They shoehorned in some plot stuff, but you know, I'm cool with it. Like you said, at this point, like 21 movies in, like I just want to get to the end story. So I was kind of okay with it. Rating, I'm probably like a 7.5 out of 10.
And, do you remember what you gave Captain America?
I think it was like...
Did you give it an 8? I think you gave it an
8.25.
8.25, yeah, very right. specific.
So yeah, Captain America is still more... nostalgic for me, so that's my number one, and then Marvel's.
I said rank it after Dwayne.
Oh,
spoilers.
Whatever.
All right, so Dwayne has Captain America 1, Captain Marvel 2.
Captain, oh Captain.
Skay, Final thoughts? Give us a score and rank it now, because I guess we'll just do whatever the fuck we want.
I
tend to agree with... Show's off the rails.
We need Rami in here to control me. I tend to agree with Dwayne. I thought this was pretty good. I did really like the CGI and stuff from this. It was better than Captain America, though Captain America wasn't bad. I thought the effects were pretty cool. I would give it a 7.5 as well, which is the same rating I gave Captain America. Both captains get the 7.5. But in my list, in my rankings, I'll put Captain Marvel ahead of Captain America. I'll put Marvel 1, America 2.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah, I liked it. It was pretty good. I think
the slow cap clap was gay.
both movies so far, I think the first halves of the movies are more interesting to me. Kind of the character development, the world building, the introducing the problems. And then the resolution of the problems is usually, so far, been pretty easy. It's just like, oh, beat up the bad guys and we win.
Welcome to Marvel movies, Gay. It will right. get better.
I see a formula kind of building here. But I think that there's some movies that will challenge that will push that. I think I've seen one of them already. So I'm looking forward to the rest to come here.
Yeah, every Marvel movie is about the same. Everyone gets points and the bad guys don't matter. I am in 100% agreement with you. I think out of any two movies, out of all 23, these two are the most similar in quality. I think you can tell the difference as far as the storytelling, the cinematography. I mean, the CGI is obviously going to be better because this movie came out so many years afterwards, after Captain America. But it's just it's a tighter script. It's shot tighter. It's everything about it. It's like they hit a groove. You'll notice this when you're watching these movies. You'll see when they hit their groove of their formula. They know it works, and then they just run with it. Every movie, they just run with that formula. It doesn't really change, and it just like they just everything's just tight. And that's the difference for me between these two movies. But I'd also give it a 7.5, like I gave Captain America. This movie, I mean, it's just an enjoyable movie. You know what I mean? I like the female representation finally in a Marvel movie. They give a woman her movie, her due. And not only that, she's by far the strongest one out of anyone. It's not even fucking close. She would destroy any of the Marvel characters. Yeah, I would give it 7.5, and I would also put Captain Marvel ahead of Captain America, just because I think the tightness of everything just makes it just a little bit better movie, more fun to watch than Captain America. But that's really nitpicking. I mean, it would be like 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I agree with you. It's pretty close. Would you say that Captain Marvel feels a little faster paced than Captain America, a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah. And it does hold a special place for me too, because I don't really connect with the character. Like I said last time, I don't connect with the character of Captain America very much. But I do connect with Secret Invasion. So when I see Skrulls, I know what they're going to set up eventually. And that gets me more excited than what Captain America did, knowing what they were setting up with Captain America when they were doing that. I just love the Secret Invasion storyline. I just think it's so cool. So it'll be interesting to see where the show goes from there.
You know, thinking about it too, like ranking them, like I don't think I've ever gone through and like ranked all the Marvel movies. So this could get interesting. Don't do
it. You better say that.
No, as I watch,
don't do any homework and rank them.
No. I'm gonna do it as we go. I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
Like I think we on the other pod on the main podcast we we like ranked the phases as we went.
Yeah.
And I don't think we ever ranked them all. So
that's a lot of movies to rank. I know which one's my favorite. Like I know in my head my top three, and I know my bottom three. But as far as like the middle ones, I mean, it'll be on the fly.
Yeah.
We're gonna need to make a list for everybody for what the rankings are. Get to episode 22 or so, and you're like, ah, what the hell did I rank Captain Marvel? Shit.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have to write down scores too, because now I have a baseline of two movies, which is pretty high. 7.5 is a pretty high baseline to set.
Eh,
so now any movie that I like before these has to be
higher.
There's no movie that gets a 10. I don't believe in any movie getting a 10.
That's your
or else we couldn't sit there for an hour and a half and bitch about the movie, which is what we do. Which is what we're doing.
That's all
I can't go through an hour and a half of this shit and then give
I don't
a movie
think we
a 10.
Really we haven't really bitched at it. We nitpick them, but you know, you can nitpick anything.
If a movie's 10, like you're saying 10 is a perfect movie, you don't have an hour and a half of nitpicking to do.
You have an hour and a half of singing its praises, its glory. I mean, hell. Get down on your knees for an hour and a half and tell me how much you love it.
Also known as the episodes Rami guess. That's what he's going to do, we'll be honest.
Actually, is the next one we have a guest on?
Next one? I was just going to get into that. We do have a guest on the next one. Kevin. Frequent Sweet. Guest of the OG Three Beers and a Mic podcast. Kevin will be joining us for Iron Man, which is super exciting. I didn't do the questions for this one. I figured with Christmas and the new podcast just starting up that I didn't want to embarrass myself and make a post for questions and not get any again. So I just didn't do it. But I will do questions for Iron Man, so we can add that in the top of the show.
Sweet.
But yeah, next episode, episode 3, will be Iron Man, the very first movie in the MCU release order. We'll be joined by Kevin, which is going to be super exciting.
All right.
And I believe we're recording the OG Three Beers and a Mic Tuesday.
Wednesday. Tuesday or Wednesday, I don't know.
Wednesday.
Decided.
It's not going to matter whenever people listen to
this. Yeah, because this is going to come out after that anyways.
So forget that. That's coming soon. Wonder Woman talk, Mandalorian finale talk. All right, guys. Excellent work.
Wonderful.
We will see you for Iron Man. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Peace.